Well, let's ask the two other speakers of this afternoon to come here and open the general discussion.
There's a lot of discussion about cuts in three talks, and the before lunch and the after lunch speakers seem to treat them differently. Before lunch, we learned that n-body simulations of a purely dissipative time will lead to singular central regions. This is just non-interacting dark matter particles, which give typically a 1.3 slope in the inner parts with a scatter of maybe 0.3 or 0.5, whereas Lars found that hard to understand without dissipation, or the question was whether we needed black holes or whether we need to do it. And I wonder whether nature might be simpler if galaxies have cusps in their stellar distribution, because that's what follows from dissipation of emergence, the dissipation of accumulation of particles.
Can I make a comment on the, I think the radial scale of the after lunch discussion is a much smaller radii, even that scale, than the scales over which Julio Anatoly would have to think. Pardon me? No, no, the cuts we are talking about here are the core, if there are cores, they are at a few hundred parts. And I thought, so you are prepared to make actually predictions about the dark matter profile at a few hundred parsecs from the simulations?
Of course, well, it'll be correct in one.
Thank you.
There's no reason to think from the simulation to say that the cuts will vanish on the set.
Know that there are elliptical galaxies with a core, then the mechanism that produces them for the constant density core in the ellipticals could also serve to work in the case of the collisionless dark matter. So,
do bulges generally have cusps?
Lars, even the different paths that the ellipticals may form isn't true, why do they all lie on the fundamental plane? Can you comment on that?
The Einstein ring radius is very close to the effective radius.
So is that the reason why the two more or less coexisted, or
why they give consistent results?
Right.
I think so, yeah. So the lensing also probes effectively the mass, the light ratio inside the effective radius.
Let me ask you, about the experiment on the lensing, fundamental plane reconstruction. Indicates there is no difference between cluster and super elliptical. Yes?
I think what it really says is pick either the densest, the most massive galaxies anywhere, or the galaxies in the cores of the richest clusters. They both have stellar populations that are as old as the cosmos. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's a statement. If that doesn't answer your question, then you can go ahead.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
We heard a somewhat contradictory story from Hans Walter and from Lars about whether the lack of rotation or presence of rotation is an indication for or against merging. Let me ask a question that Hans Walter didn't address, but that maybe you could address. There are a few tantalizing examples, particularly M87, pointed out by Marcus Kistler-Pettig and Carl Gephardt, where if you look very far out at the globular cluster system, you see very strong evidence of rotation, V over sigma of order 1, whereas close in, no evidence whatever. So the question is, of course, the obvious interpretation of that is that M87 resulted from at least some sort of large-scale merger, though the core may have been very relaxed or arose in a different way. So the question is, have people started to look at ellipticals, these giant ellipticals that show mainly radial motion, except in the very center? Have people looked far enough out that you can really see whether there's evidence for this large-scale rotation, which is a generic prediction of merging models, as Lars emphasized?
It is also true that some of the round giant galaxies can't get exactly out of the problem. Now, that hasn't been done in a systematic way as far as I can tell, so that I can tell you fractions. Whether that means more that high angular momentum material is necessarily stuck out of large radii is not clear to me. Well, I'm not quite sure whether there will be more than two or three studies by now. If anybody can, I know they have data, I haven't. Some of them show misaligned rotation. I'm not sure whether they did.
Hans Walter, what was the difference between what you described as the Tully-Fisher relation for ellipticals and the Faber-Jackson relation? And secondly, there was there was some aspect of that which you found puzzling, but I couldn't figure out what it was, and could you just restate what the puzzle is that that...
It's different than baryonic is the dark matter ratio.
No, let me add the thing. The first one, Pauli Fisher, is really a... What I call the Pauli Fisher is, what is the circular velocity at roughly the effective radius that the circular velocity is flat? It's a question asked.
Using that instead of the temporal velocity is the difference.
That is really the difference. The reason why I think it's interesting is because it allows you to make consistent statements about this galaxy and the elliptical. The reason why I found it puzzling is that at a given spectral velocity, the B band luminosity of a spiral and an elliptical is the same within the statistical distance. Now, there are two things. First of all, the ellipticals have much older populations, so their stellar population should have faded, so they should be dimmer. Secondly, right, the B square equals CM over R, the ellipticals are much more compact, so smaller R should give you a higher velocity. So if you then compare at a given velocity, it should be yet dimmer. And so the elliptical should rotate faster for a given stellar mass because they're more compact. Well, for example, as you can, you know, if you contract the halo with baryons, you get a flattish sequence of rotation curves that still isn't a perfectly constant level. So these two effects, but just from the populations alone, an SC galaxy should have a factor of a little over 2 to 3 different naturalizations from an elliptical population.
So, that's why you were appealing for a different baryonic to dark matter ratio. How did that come about?
Total mass to light ratio inside of the effective radius seems to be the same for elliptical and for this galaxy. That's the statement of there's no alternative. So since there are these strong plausibility arguments that the stellar mass to light ratio are quite different, the only way out is to use different mix of stellar to dark.
So do you have any speculation on how this would come about? It's a differential segregation of baryons and dark matter in spiral and the elliptical galaxy?
The only statement that I'd like to make is that if the average is in spheres, right, at a given stellar mass, elliptical part, 30-50 times denser in spirals. So that is...
They're more dissipated.
Maybe.
But I'm confused about the mass of the same. Yeah. And there is more star mass here, like 20 stars, only than there is in the bigger part, even for the dark, the room for dark mass.
No, I said the mass of migration is the same within effective radius. There's more mass than if you have physical radius in the same state in the surface.
Yeah, I'd like to come back to an issue where it seems to me, which is I think is important, where we have some inconsistency in the story we've been hearing, which was that we make mergers of things which look like spirals, which are mostly made of stars, and we have things that look like elliptical galaxies, more or less. But then, obviously, spiral galaxies are not only stars, they also have gas, and maybe at high redshift they had more gas than they have now. And we already saw from Lars that adding 2% gas was enough to cause a lump in the middle, which was no longer actually consistent with the structure of real galaxies. And we heard, from David, an argument that you might want more gas involved at higher redshift for the merging of the black holes also. It seems that we have very little evidence that if we actually merge things which have relatively large gas fractions, 10%, 20%, that we get a result that looks anything like an elliptical galaxy. And in fact, most of the attempts so far produce things that don't look like elliptical galaxies. So what do we need to do to figure out whether this is really a problem or not?
Well,
The general idea was that the gas falls at the center and then ran the bird. However, in the particular case of the antennae that was shown before, I saw observations, I don't know whether that is the advice in the audience, have shown that the mental burst of star formation is far away from the center of the system.
That's
the
entire case for
the regular mechanism.
Question.
In there, some of these relations for of the optical properties of ellipticals are very tight, and so even small deviations one place from another would be noticeable. Is there any significant difference between field ellipticals and cluster ellipticals depending on Bautz-Morgan type or any other type of way of organizing the cluster? In the coefficients, in other words, are there offsets? You show there's an offset with redshift, but is there anything that's density dependent?
Yes, I think there are small offsets in the sense that it seems difficult. The relationship is somewhat more scattered and in a higher fractional, slightly more luminous and younger.
But are the mean lines at the same place or are they different?
No, I think the small offset has large stops.
Zero redshift, the problem is the distance. You can't do the fundamental plane of ellipticals in the field because you have to use the fundamental plane to get the distance.
Right.
So, but the time redshift, you can directly compare the fundamental plane.
Versus
yeah.
Surface brightness.
Now, however, I don't know, but for Esperanza, the magnesium index, which is also related to the age of the population, There is very small difference in the relation of magnesium index versus sigma in cluster versus field.
Let me just give an example. Take something which you can measure independent of distance. Velocity dispersion versus surface brightness. Okay? There's a relation. If that were different, in some theories that could be very different in the field from the cluster. The question is it or isn't it?
I don't think there's a big difference. Nothing
drastic. There's a recent indication from selecting field galaxies from the initial growth strip deep field by the deep team, including the person who's leading this is Carl Gebhardt, which shows that the fundamental plane at redshift of 0.8 in the field selected from the deep from optical images of with PIC 2 images of the deep, of that field, that plane is offset to lower mass to light ratio, which is actually in contradiction with your results on the surface, although I think that you're talking about different kinds of galaxies. At any rate, the field galaxies from the deep team seem to indicate that those galaxies formed at slightly lower redshift than the cluster galaxies, just because they have lower mass to light ratios. Unfortunately, that hasn't been published yet, so I don't know all the details. Maybe even Drew can answer that.
David Koo would answer.
Actually, I was going to ask the question first, but let me answer first. Tomorrow I'll show a plot that Scott is referring to, and indeed there's evidence, as in the cluster, that there's been passive evolution at the level of one to perhaps two magnitudes, and to the extent that the amount of luminosity evolution is actually greater in the field, it would, as Scott said, imply a lower redshift of formation to be consistent with passive evolution. But in fact, the question I had was directly related to the fundamental plane. That is, at this point in time, how well do the theorists actually understand the fundamental plane in terms of explaining its properties today as well as over backwards in time, other than passive evolution?
Aspect of the fundamental plane, just the existence of the slope, field,
the
slope.
Slope, the dispersion, why we have it, etc.
From the fundamental plane, emerge them consistently. They move basically along the fundamental plane. So this is why it is sensible to interpret opposite points of even in terms of mass and light ratio of the stars rather than.
And so it's more naturally accounted for by the audience.